Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Damien, let me just jump right into it. I've read two Business in Vancouver articles. Of course, I've read all the literature on your website, but I figure it's best to get it from the horse's mouth. If you don't mind, just as an introductory question, would you tell me a little bit about yourself, how the company came about, and any alignment in your, say, political or sort of ethical framework for yourself, and how those two things can intersect?
Question. Like it. Great way to start the day. Probably shy away from politics. I'm friends with everybody in politics, but definitely on the business side, sure. and maybe definitely on the activist side. The Blisco is a culmination of 20 years of passion for industrial hemp and medical cannabis, going back until the 1998, where I helped organize produce probably before your time. If you're a Vancouver guy, right, Ethan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there was a nightclub downtown called Bridges on Richards. Anyways, we did a hemp Canada Day on July 1st, 1998, which unfortunately made it through the years, and it's still up in our board. It's up in our boardroom. So I developed passion for the plant in the 90s, and was lucky enough to meet like Hillary Black in the late 90s when she was setting up her first medical dispensary in Vancouver. I was very much interested in hemp and hemp from the ecological perspective and from the quality of the product, and then the historical role of hemp in through thousands of years, and then medical cannabis as well. When I met my first patient who had multiple sclerosis and told me in 1998 about how cannabis had changed her life, this is something that I was it was a passion project, doing on evenings and weekends as I was going through school and getting my first jobs in business and such. And then my journey to founding Blisco, was a culmination. And in the end, I guess we can thank Stephen Harper, because Stephen Harper, through various court cases, 10 plus court cases, whereby the medical patients were suing the federal government for access to medical cannabis, starting in the late 90s, and then medical cannabis was legal in 2001 with a kind of designated grower and a home grow model. And I wasn't, I'd kind of moved on to organizing environmental events at that time, but I was just kind of paying attention to it on the peripheral, and was, self-medicating on this cannabis to, help with relaxation and wellness. And then Stephen Harper in 2013, he was pushed by the local police authorities and the national police authorities to create more of a structured licensing model whereby corporations could apply for a license to grow medical cannabis. And so I had, moved through about a decade in the corporate world, and was fortunate enough to work in a family retail business for about a decade. And in that family retail business, we acquired licenses for a controlled substance, and so that gave me some great background. And yes, I did have I did run for office a number of times, and so that was a great experience. And I was able to give me a strong feel for communications and dealing with debates and diplomacy, which are skills that you use every day in business. And so when these MMPR program came out in 2013, we had just exited from a modest size commercial real estate project, and were able to use some of that funds and allocated a certain amount of money to roll the dice on getting one of these licenses. Initially, I thought it would be maybe a few years. It ended up being well more than a few years to get a license, but it was definitely worth it, and I feel very professionally fulfilled and very delighted to be working with a plant that I love, an industry that I love, and seeing all of the positive wellness benefits that cannabis can provide to a whole variety of folks from, you know, even we presented at a conference, at a workshop at Sick Kids Hospital in February. We have a personal experience through our family with pediatrics and BC Children's Hospital, and just being able to see initial research on how medical cannabis can be used to assist with seizures in kids and help with oncology care, and that research happening, it was really quite fulfilling to see that that moving ahead. And then, of course, cannabis is moved coast to coast, legal now, and Blisco is delighted to be a wellness focused whole flower, very much focused on whole flower, whole you, and full entourage and full spectrum products to deliver wellness benefits. But I saw in your note to Scott here, Ethan, on some of the things as a millennial that you deal with, and I think it's definitely, when used as part of a healthy diet, someone's getting appropriate amount of sleep, if they're getting an appropriate amount of exercise and having just regular healthy nutrition, you know, cannabis can really pay a calming and really provide a introspective element to many folks, including myself, which is why I'm passionate about the plant. Yeah. That was a mouthful.
No, I appreciate it. Honestly, I really, to be honest with you, not to get too inside baseball here, but I find that, you know, I was saying this to Scott the other day, the best interviews are, for the most part, a bit dynamic. You know, you have a couple questions you want to go on, but for the most part, you read where the other person wants to go, what they're passionate about, what they feel strongly about, even just that day, and you go off it. So I've got a lot to unpack here, and, you know, thank you. I appreciate it, sir. If I could just ask a little bit of background before we move on. You briefly touched on this, you know, that you had been in a commercial real estate deal previous to rolling the dice for the license. Could you give me a sort of history and business, like where have you been and sort of just sort of like the resume, I guess, like the other sectors within business that you've worked in?
Sure. Communications undergrad and economics, communications major, economics minor for SFU in the 90s. And then I worked in, my main goal was to, in 20s, to be honest with you, was to work hard for a short, for a moderate amount of time, and then travel as much as possible, and then have the freedom to do passion projects on the side. And so really I did communications economics and was in the process to kind of travel to 36 countries. And then I worked in industrial sales for a little bit for about 8 months, and then drove my van to Belize. And then came back and I worked in outdoor advertising for 6 years. So started off as a junior kind of sales rep, and then ended up being a BC sales manager for a company that is now called Lamar. And so that was a great journey. We did the SkyTrade and bus ads. And so I did that for 6 years. And then I ran for office in 2005. And then I went off and backpacked around the world with my wife, and sat down and got, and then we kind of got married after that. So that was pretty cool. And then I was fortunate enough, I was born in Australia and raised in Vancouver, a very loving and supportive family. And my dad is an entrepreneur. So in my mid 30s, family businesses are a serious commitment. And you know, once you're in, you can't leave it high and dry. So I wanted to make sure that I was mature. So in my mid 30s, I got involved in it was a retail beer and wine store and at a pub's business. And so there was about three pubs and three liquor stores, and then there were three pubs, three liquor stores, and then over the course of 9 years, we ended up building it up, and then exiting all all the pubs, and then changing all the names. There was kind of like three different names and five names, and then changing all the store names to one name called Jack's Beer White Spirits, and then now there are about 15 stores, Jack Beer Wine Spirits, across BC. And so that, and I made it very clear in 2013 to my family business partners that I wanted to, they knew that I'd be passionate about cannabis for a number of decades, and I wanted to get into the cannabis business. And so that's when I incorporated Blisco in October 2013, and we applied for a license in May 2014. I guess I skipped one step in my CV. I did go back to school and get an MBA in 2004, finished that. And so that has was helpful, and I made some great peers in that process, and did a MBA with focus on leadership. And so that was really gave me a lot of confidence to to help out in the family business, and even with Blisco, it provided me a lot of skills and tools and confidence to, as an entrepreneur, you're doing, it seems like every quarter, at least about a third to half of what you're doing is something new, especially in the cannabis space. So that was the journey to Blisco. But I guess one final thing is I did organize 14 of these EcoFests, which was a event held in Langley, Granville Island, North Vancouver, Whistler, and in the rainforest of Squamish, and it was all about preserving old growth rainforests. It was called the Stiltman EcoFest. And so, have you ever been, Ethan, up, you know where Mile 36 is? Have you ever been on Paradise Valley Road? When you're driving to Whistler, you go past Squamish, and then you turn right, you know where the Alice Lake Provincial Park is? Little Alice Lake there? You know where that one is?
Alice Lake, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So you go left, Alice Lake is to the right, you go to Whistler. So you go left there, and it's the magical road called Paradise Valley Road, Paradise Valley, and then the road goes up, and then Mile 36 is where some Czechoslovakian Canadians built these totem poles, and then anyways, we would have, this is where these protests were happening, and so we would organize basically these, they were speaking events, and speakers, and biologists, and bird specialists, and activists, and they were basically blocking the road for logging, and we would, in a peaceful way, we would kind of bring in DJs, live bands, and just generate awareness of working with the Western County Wilderness Committee, and generating awareness to preserve the old growth forest, and working with the local First Nations, and the local First Nations led the way, and that rainforest was preserved. So that was pretty cool. That was a few chapters ago, but it was a chapter that we took a lot of risks and learned a lot, and didn't get it into any problems, and we were on very good terms with the RCMP, and that was a proud chapter. I love telling my kids about that, and when they get a little older, I'm going to take them up to that rainforest because it's pretty far up there, and you can actually, ever hear of Meager Peak, you can drive to Mile 60, actually, then you can hike for 3 days over this mountain pass and pop down into these hot springs called Meager Creek. So I highly recommend that if you ever get a chance. It's pretty cool.
Wow. All right. If I'm in the neighborhood,
it's a big journey. you need two cars. But anyway, so that led me to Blisco, and then I founded Blisco with the support of my wife, and she was helpful, and then I went ahead and how I was engaged with Supreme too. We started organizing because I have a background organizing these events and did some nightclub promotions back in the day too. So basically, when you're a bootstrapped entrepreneur and you want to, you know, knowledge is key, and you're trying to learn about your application, is basically created these networking events. We did eight of these events, five in Vancouver and three in Toronto, where we would get 50. To 80 people out, and it was basically a social, and it was called Industry Night, people would was able to build a network of other industry folks across the country, and that's how I initially met the Supreme team, Nav and John Fowler, helped build knowledge in the industry and move the company to commercializations and build the company up to licensing and then now to this exciting partnership and working as part of the Supreme team.
Damien, just to touch up, Industry Night, you met Supreme. What year was that? Do you remember?
It was the last one. I remember having breakfast with Navdeep Dhaliwal and John Fowler and Sunny Ray. That would have been in March 2017.
If I might, I'd love to ask you about we've talked a little bit about your own personal sort of praxis, if we can use like an inside baseball kind of political term here. I'd love to ask you about I read an article recently about Netflix's company culture, about how it's flat hierarchy, setting your own rules, and how that they feel that, you know, boosts creativity. Don't feel the need to match that or anything, but, you know, I'd love to ask you about the company culture, like the ethos of the Blisco, like sort of, I don't know. Tell me a little bit about the company and how it operates. Like, what's the culture like?
Certainly. We were the 95th company license, and now there's 180 plus companies, and so the marketplace is getting competitive. And we identified early on that we really needed to stand out with a unique brand in an increasingly crowded marketplace. And so I have to give credit to our first marketing director, my wife Charlene, and she was the one that drove us to drove me to we connected with a local branding company called Arithmetic that we did a lot of research on them, and we really liked the other brands they'd worked on and the story. Basically, about a year and a half ago, we went in for what felt like I was going to see a psychologist, basically, because they wanted me to bring all these photos from my childhood and my youth and my 20s and such, and bring all the things that are important to me and sort of physical objects. So I brought these kind of posters from these events that are organized and these topographical maps, because I really enjoy getting out into the mountains and into the forest and such. And so they, I'm getting more used to it, but I love talking about myself a lot, but they actually encouraged me to start talking about myself and how we can. So we basically set them. And so they, with their assistance, for the Arithmetic and with, for the encouragement from brand director Charlene, first brand director, we positioned the company with a strong environmental focus, and that was the start of our journey. And so we tied in a lot of these ecological values, sustainability, and really tied it in under the brand of innovation, because we didn't want to be politicizing our company whatsoever, but we really feel that, you know, sustainability is relatively mainstream now. And so and our Blisco value of innovation, you know, is where we walk the talk with our packaging, because our dried cannabis packages are Canada's, to our knowledge, are Canada's only recycled, the bottom part of the jar is from recycled milk jugs. And so to our knowledge, we're the only licensed producer using recycled material, 100% recycled material in our jugs. And so we took a lot of risks. We took some measured risks on that front, and it's coming important now. We're seeing in the last month or two, we're seeing a real uptick in commentary, as now our products have been in BC for about 4.5 months, and our products have been in Alberta for about a month, Saskatchewan for about 6 weeks, and we shipped to all New Brunswick yesterday. And so we're seeing, it's great to see Blisco, and, you know, we'll be on the shelves in New Brunswick within a few weeks. And so it's great to see a lot of positive feedback coming in from across the country on the Blisco brand. And when it comes to our pre-rolls, our pouches that we currently use are 100% compostable. And so, packaging is a tricky venture, a lot to learn on that front. And so we got this just, compostable package pouch for our pre-rolls. And so those are two of the ways that we're walking the talk. And we've been able to have a, what we've noticed is we are getting a higher level of management buy-in and just a higher level of management retention with being able to walk the talk on these values.
That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit more. I'd love to ask more about the sustainability initiatives that Blisco has embarked on. Is it, like a community garden in the back of the office? Is it green days, like just turn your monitor off for an hour a day? Like, I know that you're devoted to this. I'd love to hear more about how you, through the company, are really, really putting the priority on environmental sustainability.
Certainly when it comes to a couple of other things on the product side, our oil vessels, we got our oil production license in August 2018, and we're in the process of getting our oil sales license, and our oil bottles are from glass, which are from recycled glass, so at least they can be recycled, so that is positive. And one, we've been working on our phase two of our pre-rolled tubes, and they are they actually come from ocean waste, and so it's from a company that we source, and it's from those plastic blob oceans, those islands of plastic waste. They're pulled. This plastic is pulled out of the ocean. It's treated, and then is recycled and converted into these pre-roll tubes. And so that's our next incarnation of pre-rolls that we're quite passionate about. And when you combine a premium product like we're working with 7 Acres and Supreme, and when you provide a premium, cannabis experience product with packaging and with premium ecological packaging, you really, you're able to, set the bar as a, obviously this packaging is more expensive, and so you have to invest more money, and so we're able to, price yourself at a premium category, so we can provide the return to our shareholders. And so, on the team front, when we designed our office, it was quite interesting. In the summer of 2017, we're designing a production facility and we're designing an office at the same time. And so, we incorporate a lot of glass into our office with a lot of natural light, trying to drive as much as an industrial facility. We're driving as much as much light in as possible to the office. It's a bright, environment. We have a full, of course, recycling and compostable program in our office. And as far as a garden is concerned, we do not have that. It's an industrial facility, and there's a parking. The space is tight outside. But really, we try and walk the talk as much as possible when it comes to the products that we ship out the door to our customers. And then, of course, on our social media feeds, when on our consumer social media feeds, we're always promoting wellness. And cannabis is not about getting high. And Blisco is a CBD. We're a CBD focused company. Cannabis is really about, being responsible and having a healthy lifestyle. And we really see cannabis as being incorporated into that healthy lifestyle, and ensuring that you're getting the appropriate amount of sleep, and ensuring that you're eating well. I had a buddy actually in the 90s. He's like, "Do you call yourself an environmentalist? You're still eating meat." And I was like, "Well, I like meat. I was born in Australia." And so, but anyway, so the last 15 years I've, cut out, well, in the last 12 years I've cut out, meat for the most pescatarian. So, bit of a tangent there, but we try and walk the talk as much as possible when it comes to our products. And on the team side, we offer our team members, flex days to ensure that, it's a startup. We have a very wise HR coach and a culture coach, a HR advisor, a culture coach. And she said, Marlene Higgins, she says, "Damien, startups are intense. People are going to work very, very hard, and a number of them are going to get burnout, and they're going to have to leave because they're just, it's just too much an intense environment." And so regardless whether it's technology or technology startup or a web startup or cannabis, and so we've really made an effort to provide flex days for our team, and we're regularly revisit our values, and we have a a coach we work with to ensure that that our values are aligned with our quarterly and annual and 3-year strategic objectives. And now we're integrating that with the Supreme team. And, you know, with long conversations with Nat B. Pellywell, the Supreme CEO, he's very very much focused on, and we can communicate through the lens of talking about values and vision and mission. And that really means a lot to me and the Blisco team, because we know when times get tough, and we've certainly had some tough times at Blisco, we've had some bumps in the road, but it really says a lot of person's character, as Ethan and Scott, you can probably relate to. So you may have worked with some people in the past when times get tough, they can lose their cool, and people get, stress just gets to them. And so, but at, you know, at Blisco, what we've found with our focus on team values and a transparent team culture, we're able to stay calm, stay collected, and to discuss a couple of options moving forward and pick one. That enabled us to maintain a strong relationship with Health Canada, and enabled us to maintain a strong focus on compliance. And that has led us to, you know, a real focus on our next initiative, which is good manufacturing certification, the GMP certification, so we can take the Blisco brand to Europe and to Germany and international. That's what, once we get a certification. So that's where Blisco has come from. It's where we are and where we're going, Ethan.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
Fantastic. That's really interesting what you said, working with a culture coach. Can I ask, was the, recycled ocean waste for the pre-roll tubes, was that one of the initiatives that they helped come up with you?
No, I have to give credit to that, to our first brand manager, Charlene Kettlewell, and she found this company online, and we visited them at MJ Biz 2 years ago, and this product is not to market yet. You know, one of the things when you're pushing the envelope when it comes to packaging is, of course, the federal government has done a great job putting very strict regulations in place, and so a lot of these startup companies, like on the packaging side, they're pushing the envelope, but they're working to provide the certifications, the child-proof certifications and the safety certifications, and it's tricky when you're an American manufacturer trying to sell into Canada too. They're taking some chances, and so we haven't launched this nation. It's a top priority for me, this ocean waste tube, but we're kind of working through the final stages of that right now. On that front, but the culture coach, her role was to understand our team and ensure that she would introduce us to, we needed to hire folks in quality assurance, we needed to hire folks in production, we needed to hire folks in our extraction lab. She was tasked with having a strong knowledge of that, and then she would ensure that people that she would bring to the table would resonate with these values, this team culture, and I'm proud to say that we've got a very strong management team and a team that's very operationally focused and very much focused on hitting quarterly and annual goals, and we're very focused on these goals, and we revisit these goals regularly, and we measure our success against hitting these goals.
Fantastic. And I believe you touched on these goals. These might have been more values, as you said, sustainability, innovation, ecological, protection. Are those similar, or are those more just like inherent company traits that you incorporate into your short-term goals and long-term goals?
Right now, our quarterly priority right now is to earn our oil sales license, and so that's our number one goal right now for the quarter. But when it comes to our company values and visions, Blisco is some of the some of our values are, you know, our vision is to a world where everyone can create, everyone can pursue personal wellness through the essence of the cannabis plant. And some of our values are, we have 8 right now, and, you know, they're going to evolve over time, but currently our number one value is harmony, and harmony and client commitment, innovation, agility, collaboration, integrity, accountability, and quality. So those are our how we operate daily, and really what we're doing now with our mission is to deliver innovative, quality assured, full spectrum cannabis products to the world. And so that's what we come to work every day to do. That's what gets me excited to get out of bed, is this delivering innovative, quality assured, full spectrum cannabis products to the world.
Can I perfect, you kind of touched on it there. Just a couple more questions. I read a Business in Vancouver article from 2018 which said, quote, the company hopes to be profitable by mid-2019, and the biggest challenge for you at the time was in 2018, scaling. So as you said, your goal for the quarter is the oil license, but in the year of 2019, you know, in the year of our Lord, what is your largest challenge and goal? What do you want to do in 2019?
I think our biggest opportunity is scaling up by the end of the year to hit that target of being a run rate to be able to produce 7 million cannabis oil tincture bottles annually. And so we put that in our press release that announced the sale of Blisco to Supreme. And so I'm very confident I'm cautiously optimistic and confident we're going to hit that goal. The Supreme team has brought in, has provided a lot of new and additional expertise on extraction lab setup. You know, we're setting up a second extraction lab right now, an ethanol extraction lab, and a lot of people think you just buy a machine and you plug it in and off you go. But it's a complex scientific environment with that has to have the ability to produce on scale and then package on scale as well. So it's a complex process, and so the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity we have this year is to complete this second lab, get it licensed, which I'm confident we will, and actually technically we'll have it as a, it'll be a second licensed lab, but it would getting, and so the biggest opportunity we have this year is getting our processes and systems in place, and so we are up and producing basically about 500,000, just over 500,000 cannabis oil tincture bottles a month, which is a big scientific initiative, and it's a big process engineering initiative, and it's a big packaging and fulfillment initiative, and it includes managing a lot of different logistics. So I'm confident that the combination of the Blisco team and the Supreme team will be able to get there, and it's the number one focus. One of my main focus for this year is to support the team to get there. But and as well at the same time now. Supreme is a bigger company with a number of different initiatives and projects and various companies that they have launched, from a science and genetics company called Cambium for plant genetics, to a European investment company called Supreme Heights, to a probably arguably one of the more developed international assets is Metagro, which is in the Kingdom of Lesotho. And so we are looking to leverage all of these assets the team has developed, and we want to help kind of bring Blisco, the Blisco brand, Blisco products, through some of these assets over time to various international markets. And so that is one of our goals kind of leading into next year. Nav and I have agreed that Blisco to be coast to coast, and we want it to be international. So through working with folks like Scott and working with members of the management team, we're very excited about this opportunity and very excited about about what lays ahead.
Okay. Damien, you know, a critical, even maybe you could say Marxist analysis of your company might lead one to a conflict. How can profit-seeking entities that hold the value of sustainability and environmental protection while also owing to their investors, you know, shareholder value, you know, how can you make structural and material changes to the world without placing something ahead of, you know, the profit motive is the question I would ask you. Is there a conflict there in your opinion?
Yeah. So do you mind? That's a great question. Do you mind just saying it one more time so I could fully grasp it, please?
Sure. I apologize. I jumbled it. An analysis of the company might lead somebody to a conflict. How can profit-seeking entities make structural changes to the world or the environment without placing another value above shareholder value?
Right, so, in other words, basically, how can you, if you're a profit-seeking entity, if you're a company that ultimately has, you know, responsibilities to shareholders, how can you also claim to be, a company that puts the environment, quote unquote, like front and center, or puts the environment at the heart of its operations? Is that more or less what you're talking about?
No, I don't mean to frame it like that. I don't mean to sound as if, you know, I'm doubting your how genuine you are in your interests. I mean, you've clearly been doing this a long time, Damien. I only ask because, you know, you hear a lot about companies saying, like, philanthropy is very important to, you know, large companies. It's very important that they, you know, contribute to, you know, think tanks or, you know, nonprofits. But at the end of the day, you know, no matter how many t-shirts that Nike pumps out that say girl power on it, they're still ultimately paying Vietnamese women, you know, 5 cents an hour to make these shirts, which there's kind of a conflict there. And it's that, you know, capital at the end of the day is, for companies at least, is the most prominent and important value. So I'm wondering if, you know, I wonder if this is a conflict that you've ever considered. This is a more of an open-ended question.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some general things to say on that front. Sure. And, you know, and I guess part of, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, and so being around a little while, and I guess, when I was in advertising, per se, I really enjoyed it. I worked with some amazing people, and it was great, actually, and half of the revenue-sharing agreement that they had with, like, BC Transit, so, you know, a good amount of the advertising revenue would actually be paid back to the advertising, to the BC Transit, which could buy more buses and buy more SkyTrains, which is good for the, it's good for everything. You know, transit is the way to go when you're building, you know, urban cities, and for sure. So, but in regards to when I was in advertising, I had this, it was interesting. I was always promoting other people's brands, and which is great. Worked with some great brands, but I felt a real pang in my gut. I was like, you know what, this has been great. I love this freedom to be able to work for a great company for a while, and then you know, travel, and then, you know, get involved in some community activism and maybe a little politics here and there. And so I really enjoyed that, but I felt this in my gut was always like, you know, I really want to promote my own brand so I can have more, you know, something that I'm kind of like involved with directly that I've sort of helped found. And so in that first journey with being involved in the family business for about a decade, we were able to create a brand, and that brand is growing at a nice steady pace now. And and I'm happy that with that. And then now when it came to Blisco, I felt it was more about something that I was able to, you know, there was some tougher times in business. You have in life, you have some tougher times. And so I wanted with Blisco, I was something that I'd had this personal experience with the cannabis plant for some time. And it was, my wife had said that, you know, said I was an undiagnosed, self-medicating patient for many years to bring, you know, wellness and calm to my spirit through cannabis and through, you know, sleep, health, and exercise. And so, I guess when I came to Blisco and this journey, about the dichotomy between, you know, profit, at the pursuit of the planet, you know, and that's, it's a very philosophical debate. But in the end, I am a business person. I was born into a family of small business operators and entrepreneurs, and some have become bigger businesses. And so I think there's a right way to do business and there's a wrong way to do business. And so, you know, there's companies out there that, like, for instance, a couple weeks ago, that, you know, without naming any names, there was a UBC, there was a company working at UBC, and they're a refrigeration company, and they disposed of a bunch of effluent into a local creek at UBC. And I was kind of shocked by that. And, you know, they paid a bit of a fine and such like that. So, I mean, it is expensive to get rid of waste. It is expensive garbage. It is expensive to deal with waste and byproducts of manufacturing. And so, and even right now, we have to give credit. I heard from Brenda Buller, Supreme's VP of Government Affairs, and we've hosted Metro Vancouver twice at our facility because, of course, they're concerned. There's some concerns that folks have, local residents, in regards to, like any manufacturing facility, not Blitko's facility, but there's other facilities out there where there's noise pollution, or there's, you know, some like, you know, just lots of noise, or there's smell. You know, some people live next to pig farms, and so, you know, how bad can it be living next to a cannabis farm? Personally, I really enjoy the smell of cannabis. So, but you got to respect the needs of local residents. And so, when it comes to the philosophical question about the role of business, you know, I really look at companies like Patagonia, where they've stuck true to their ethos through the decades, and, you know, now they've set up some, you know, retail stores, and in their retail stores, you know, at least the one that I see, I kind of live around Kitsilano in Vancouver, they're really advocating for the local environment. They're advocating for our 75 whales we have left up in the southern pod, and they're using their business as a platform to respectfully, respectfully advocate for the health and wellness of the local community. And that's what I see with Blitko, is that we know that families need to put food on tables, but we know we are a G7 country. We're fortunate to be blessed with an abundant amount of natural resources, but we have and we need to manage those in an effective way, while realizing that people need to put food on the tables, and we need to have taxes that fund hospitals and schools. And so when it comes to businesses, you know, there's those businesses out there that you know, businesses need to be true to themselves, and if your company's like Blitko or Supreme, if you're making considerable investment into the quality of the product that you're putting out, well, you need to price yourself, your product at a level that's going to provide that return to shareholders, because it costs us more to put out this quality product. It costs us more to have, you know, excellent cannabis flower and excellent high CBD cannabis oil, and with memorable packaging that's ecologically friendly. That is a higher level investment. So for that to happen, we do need to charge. We need to be at a price at a premium level, and those premium prices will bring return to our shareholders. So, you know, if there's consumers out there that are looking for, you know, the highest THC at the lowest price point, you know, well, they'll, you know, you're not gonna find that in the Blitko product, or like our 7 Acres products. You know, we're these premium products create memorable brand experiences, and that does come with a price where consumers will have to invest and pay that price. So it's a very, very, I got to congratulate you, Ethan. That is probably one of the most interesting questions that I've had since in business in some time. So it seems like it's maybe a question I would have faced as a candidate at an all candidates debate in 2005, 2009, or 2013. So, so I'm not sure how much meat I gave you there, but I think as long as those companies, it's a real balancing act, because we need to be profitable, we need to grow profits, and we need to drive shareholder value. And to do that, we need to make calculated investments. And the investments that we make in ecological products and in sustainability have to really provide shareholder return, because it's not going to be a sustainable business unless you're growing revenue and growing profits. So it's a real fine balancing act, and it requires a lot of reflection and a lot of planning and some sharp financial minds to be able to make those investment decisions But there is a fine balance, and there's companies out there like Patagonia, and I think Lululemon is doing a great job of really promoting a healthy lifestyle. And you know, they certainly charge a premium price for their product, but their products are innovative, and they're basically creating some product categories. And so, with the leisure dress wear sort of sector. So I think with this marriage of Blisco and just Supreme, I think we have the wind at our back. We have a very strong team, and I think that we will be able to introduce products that will pan generations and that will provide a positive impact to the community and will inspire other entrepreneurs and inspire consumers to invest in our products and to invest in themselves, to invest in their health and their wellness, so they can live a full, healthy, balanced lives with their friends and family.
Fantastic. And for what it's worth, sir, I think that was a great answer.
That was a tough one. Yeah, it was my best college shot. Yeah, good stuff. I'm glad you liked it. Scott, anything to add there, bud?
Absolutely not, Damien. Well done. On a question where I don't know where I would have taken that one. Well done. Yeah.
Well, on that note, gentlemen, I've been taking up enough of your time. We've been speaking for about an hour. Is there anything else you'd like to get on the record that perhaps I haven't asked you?
Scott,
you got it again? No, I was just going to say, I think that that does it from where I'm sitting as well.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you gentlemen taking the time to speak with me. And, that was a great interview. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ethan. I really enjoyed that. And if you have anything else, please let me know. And, give my best to Chris. And, keep pushing. The millennials are, we're going to hand you the ball in the next decade or so. I don't know if you've done the best job, but we're going to keep doing our best job, and we expect you to run with it in the next decade when it's your turn to run things.
I'll be ready. Damien, okay. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you both.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.